Yo, what's going on, family? What's up, family? Welcome to a brand new episode of the Tariq Radio Show. I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in. Ready to chop up some good game like we do every week. We're live on the Tariq Spot right now. We're testing out the new site at TariqSpot.com. Hopefully everything is working right. What we're going to do, we're going to take a real quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen. And again, the phone number is 818-850-5404. That is the number. We're going to take a real quick commercial break. Don't you move a muscle. We'll be right back right here on Tariq Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. Go to UndeniableGame.com and get my free audio program, Undeniable Game, which teaches you 7 easy-to-follow tips on how to really attract beautiful women. The Undeniable Game audio program is absolutely free to download, so you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Master the game and get your free copy at UndeniableGame.com. That's UndeniableGame.com.
What's going on, family? It's player season right about now. It's Among Us, so it's time for you to get suited and booted out here so they can start choosing up on you. That's why you got to get your gear game together, and you start off by getting your tie game in order. That's why you need to check out HarrisonBlakeApparel.com. Now, Harrison Blake Apparel, they have all types of men accessories like neckties, bow ties, pocket squares, all that good stuff to accentuate your suit game. They also have monthly subscription packages on the site, and if you use the coupon code Tariq, you can get 25% off on everything on the site. So you need to check out right now, HarrisonBlakeApparel.com. Yo, have you heard of Shiroma Banks? Shiroma Banks is a new black-owned clothing line that fuses contemporary design with Afrocentric sense of style and art. You need to check out their website right now at sharomabanks.com for their fast-selling and affordable designs like the Africana bodycon dresses and the Tribal Galaxy t-shirts. They deliver worldwide all over the place, so go to their website right now, sharomabanks.com. That's C-H-I-R-O-M-A-B-A-N-K-S.com. What's up, family? You need to check out the brand new website called AshKicking.com. Now, that is a black-owned business that sells fragrance products. It has unique incense burners, scented candles, incense sticks, and health and beauty products. They have body butter, hair moisturizer, face moisturizer, the whole nine yards. It's 2017. There is no reason for any of y'all to be crispy and ashy out here in these streets. Go to AshKicking.com. That's AshKicking.com. What up, everybody? It's your boy, Crispy, everybody. And I got a brand new video game app out right now, everybody. It's called Crispy's Biscuits, everybody. And you can get the Crispy's Biscuits app right now on the iPhone Apple Store, everybody. And you can also get it on the Google Play Store, everybody. As a matter of fact, everybody, it was the number one game on Google Play all last week, everybody. The game is so exciting, everybody. There's 10 levels you can help me get through, everybody. Where I'm dodging bottles of lotion, everybody. I'm dodging hair clippers, everybody. And I'm dodging taco meat, everybody. So get the Crispy's Biscuits game right now, everybody, at crispysbiscuits.com, everybody. Now I'm about to do my coon laugh, everybody.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting battle fight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at MoorishKingdom.com.
You are now tuning in to the King of Games, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
I am delivered!
Yo, we are back. We are back. We are back. Glad to have everybody back right here on Tariq Radio. I am your host, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Tariq. And we're testing out the website, my new site, the Tariq Spot at TariqSpot.com. One thing I noticed in the chat room, we can see the stream, we can hear the stream. The chat room. I cannot see the chat room. There's something going on with the chat room, so that's something that I'm going to have to work out, ladies and gentlemen. I know there's a few people, there's a lot of people in the room right now, but I don't think people are able to chat, and that is something that I am going to have to work out in the chat room. So, again, we're working this stuff out, and we have to go live in order to work all the stuff out. So anybody in the chat room, if you can chat in there, let me know. But anyway, I digress. I'm glad to have everybody tuning in. Going to be a fast show today. I got a lot of stuff to do. I got to head out to Vegas to get ready for the Floyd Mayweather fight this weekend. I will be out there in the mix. Shout out to the money team. Shout out to all my folks. Shout out to Team Mayweather. Shout out to Javante's people. Shout out to Coach Calvin. Shout out to all the folks out there. I want to talk about something that I've been wanting to talk about for a long time. I want to play this video that was made in the 1950s. It's called The Secrets to Selling to the Negro. And I've been promising I was going to do a show on this, and I want to do this today. And while I'm talking, I'm monitoring the room, and I see the stream keeps going in and out. So everybody in the chat room, if you're on the Tariq Spot website, just keep refreshing the page, ladies and gentlemen. Just refresh the page, and we're going to work this thing out. We're going to work out all the bugs and all the kinks. Oh, by the way, everybody, you need to go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4. And 1804, we're working on that to come out in October. The date we're looking at is October 19th. We're looking at October 19th as the release date for the movie, the highly anticipated movie 1804. We're just getting things confirmed with all the theaters around the country. And I will keep everybody posted on that. And you can get more details later on at 1804movie.com. That is the official website, ladies and gentlemen. But anyway, like I said, I want to talk about this video that came out in the 1950s that talked about how to sell products to Negroes. And this video was made, it was funded by the Johnson Company, the people who does Ebony Magazine. And it was basically them trying to show white advertisers why they should sell to black people. And also they did a lot of research, and white people were involved, and they understood, these white researchers, they understood the mentality of black people then and what made black people want to buy stuff. And understand, this video, this was made in 1954. And understand that the mentality is still prevalent among black folks today. This is how those in the dominant society, they study us. I want y'all to listen close to this. Let me get ready and bump this now. Hold on 1 second. So let me start playing it. It's kind of long. I'm going to try not to play the whole thing. I'll try to play as much as possible because I'm going to be in and out, breaking down what's being said and what's being talked about. And it's real heavy. And if I can find this shit, hold on 1 second. Where is this thing? Y'all bear with me. Hold on 1 second. I just had it. I had it pulled up. Let me put my Mackin music back on until I pull it up. Shit. I just had it up. So y'all rock with me 1 second. Got a lot of screens and stuff popping over here. And I had it right where I wanted to have it. Y'all bear with me. Where's this thing? Hold on 1 second. Y'all rock with me. We just look for it again on YouTube. All right. I think this is it right here. All right. Here it is right here. All right. Let me fast forward a little bit. And, you know, the sound is a little grainy because this is from the 1950s. So y'all bear with me. All right. Let me turn my Mackin music off. Now, peep this. And again, in the chat room, if you're on the Tariq Spot website, just refresh your page if there's any kind of crash going on. All right. Hold on 1 second.
Really big, because it's bound to have a terrific impact on business. I'm talking about a new market, a big new market. Millions upon millions of new prospects with $15 billion to spend. That's right, I said $15 billion. That's a lot of money, isn't it? The surprising thing is that it's a fresh market, still full of opportunities. It grew up so fast, got so big in a hurry, that few of us realize its scope. Now, these days, nobody's likely to pass up chances to sell. And yet, right here in our own front yard, there's a neglected market. There's money waiting to be spent. To get the story of this market, to be able to tell you the secret of selling the Negro, we did a lot of digging.
And they call it selling the Negro, but it was selling to the Negro. It's supposed to be selling to the Negro, but they keep referring to it as selling the Negro. And this is kind of a white-looking dude talking. He kind of has a weird look, this greasy, slick-back hair. So it's real interesting.
We talked to leading businessmen, the customers, and the salesmen. We went to Washington, D.C. We set up cameras and other key points around the nation. And out of this all, there emerged a story. The story of a new market.
All right, now y'all, I'm going to try to skip through a lot of the music and all this stuff. But this is interesting. Right after World War II, this is like in the 1950s, you know, this was when rigid segregation was happening. And they said, hey, you know, there's a lot of money out here that we need to be getting. So how can we remain segregated, you know, keep our community segregated, but still get the money out of these Negroes? So this is what they were trying to do in the 1950s. They were trying to figure out a way to get some of that paper from black folks. Hold on.
In Chicago, in Atlanta or New York, in Detroit, St. Louis, Los Angeles, any one of a thousand cities and towns. All over the country, families such as this are enjoying new prosperity. They have new interests, new standards of living, a buying power they've never enjoyed before. There are good prospects for practically all types of goods and services. All too often, though, they're overlooked prospects. Why? Because of some good, valid reason? No. They're overlooked because of mistaken ideas. Because of out-of-date ideas about how the Negro lives and how he buys. The truth of the matter is that the Negro lives pretty much the same as other folks. He buys pretty much the same way, too. But just the same, a lot of old doubts and opinions keep cropping up over and over again.
I don't like to do business with Negroes. They're drifters. You can't keep track of them.
Yes, although a lot of people think that way, the truth is that one out of every three Negro families living in cities today owns its own home. That figure comes directly from the United States Bureau of Census.
Maybe so, but Negroes are poor credit risks.
Not more of a credit risk than any other group. Actually, the Negro home buyer meets his payments faithfully, often more faithfully than other race groups in the same economic level. That's the information we got from people who ought to know, the National Association of Real Estate Boards.
Well, maybe, but I've always heard that Negroes buy shoddy, poor quality merchandise.
No, it's just the other way around. According to leading researchers, in proportion to population and income, Negroes buy more quality products than any other comparable United States group.
Now, that's very interesting right there. Now, right here is very interesting. They talk about how black people, we buy top brand of other folks' shit. There's a real big misconception that we like shoddy shit. No, no, no. Black folks, we pride ourselves on buying name brand shit. We're big on name brand stuff. And they were breaking that down back in the 1950s. How black people love to get name brand stuff because we try to kind of consume our way into equality. You know what I'm saying? We try to become consumers, and we think becoming consumers of high quality stuff is going to somehow make us equal.
You see, there are a lot of confused notions about the Negro customer, but when you dig right down and find out about them, they just don't hold water. Negroes own homes. They meet their payments faithfully. They buy good brands of merchandise. So why let a lot of old-fashioned ideas hurt profits? Take a look at the real facts. Here in Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, some amazing facts and figures about this new market have been uncovered. For a first-hand report, we would like to take you directly to the United States Department of Commerce to hear this story from the Secretary of Commerce himself. Here is the Honorable Sinclair Weeks, the Secretary of Commerce of the United States.
In the Department of Commerce, we are constantly alert to trends that mean a healthier national economy.
Listen to that. This is a white guy talking. He's saying we're alerted to trends that will promote a healthy national economy. So they're figuring out how can we, all this black money that's circulating in these black neighborhoods. Now we need to funnel that shit up out of there and funnel it into our communities. Because understand, back in the 1940s and 50s and all that, you did have defined black communities where black people pretty much controlled a lot of what went on as far as the economy there. You still had like the Negro Leagues and all that. And that stuff, people don't understand that stuff was making a lot of damn money. There was a viable economy within black society because black people were really forced because of systematic exclusion to circulate money among each other. So understand, this is them figuring out ways how to get that money out of black society.
Business for the nation as a whole. Recently, we have been interested in a rising young market, one that represents a huge potential for goods and services. I'm referring to the new Negro market. The tremendous buying power of this group is backed, of course, by an increased earning power. The average Negro family's income is at a record high. In fact, since 1939, it has increased more than the average income of all other Americans.
You listen to that now. They were talking about the black income, the black economy. It increased more than other groups. I want y'all to listen to what they were saying. So that right there was a threat. Black people with a rising income, and you're not really depending on outsiders, you have an insulated income that's rising and rising. They're like, oh, we got to do something about this shit. So they always come to you as if they're trying to somehow help. We just want to sell you better stuff. Understand how the white supremacists work and how they will go through Negroes. And understand, they went through some of those Boule Negroes in Ebony Magazine, that's Boule. But you see how they go through them in order to pull the whammy bammy on us. Let me keep playing.
Just take a look at a few figures. An official Department of Commerce report shows that at least one-third of the Negroes living in cities earn from $2,000 to $5,000 a year. Today, the average Negro wage earner brings home a paycheck four times larger than the one he collected in 1939. As a whole, the Negro market has a total income of about $15 billion every year. And after taxes, Negro families still have many billions of dollars to spend.
Now understand, $15 billion, this is in the 1950s. That's a lot of damn money for the 1950s, and this is just black people alone in the night. That's a lot of money now, $15 billion. But remember, in the 1950s, that's a huge economy. So they're like trying to tap into that, and they're like, we don't want these niggas to rise up and start getting any kind of real political power and start really throwing their weight around as far as their economy. So we got to do something to bleed that economy out. So I just want y'all to peep how they come at you as if they're trying to help, and really they're trying to undermine you.
Here is a buying power that cannot help but have a tremendous effect on our national economy and on business prosperity in general. When these dollars are spent for a wide range of goods, services, and employment, business everywhere is bound to feel the impact.
This new buying power has resulted in a class Negro market, a profitable, above-average income group of consumers. For example, the nation's largest newspaper and magazine research organization, Daniel Starch and Staff, reports these significant figures. More than 51% of the readers of Ebony Magazine have a record player in their home.
Now, let me fast
$3 billion a year for food alone.
Hold on one second.
The makeup of metropolitan populations today is different than it was just a few short years ago. To give you a better idea of what we mean, we set up several cameras, candid cameras, in a number of shopping locations. Take a look at these shoppers.
Now, I want to skip
notice
to some of the...
Notice a large proportion of...
Let me skip to the other stuff.
A product must have the backing of this big...
Because right now they're just showing cars and they're showing just different stuff. Black people are buying air conditioners and all this old stuff. But there's something very interesting that they said in here about the mindset of black people buying stuff.
Whatever it is, here are millions of prospects. And these prospects are everywhere. Negro customers can no longer be pigeonholed. They cannot be classified as prospects who trade only in certain stores, certain neighborhoods. Today, Negroes shop downtown. They shop in supermarkets. They shop in small neighborhood stores. They'll buy from anyone who wants to sell to them. But we all know that before you can sell to customers, you've got to get to know them. You must understand something about them. What do the Negro customers buy? Why do they buy? How do you sell to them? Let's find out.
Now, this is where, this is the heavy part right here.
Let's hear the opinion of men who have spent a lifetime studying the buying habits of customers the world over. Here is what sales psychologists have to say about selling to the Negro.
The secret of selling to the Negro is expressed in one word. That word is recognition.
Listen to this. Now, this is a sales psychologist. See, they study black folks to figure out how to sell to them. And remember, this is in the 1950s. This is still valid now.
No, there's nothing unusual about that. People want to be recognized. They need recognition. That's basic in all of us. But perhaps because he's had so little of it, the Negro needs even more. He needs to feel important.
Listen to that. Because the Negro has had so little recognition, he needs more of it. So that's why, you know, we buy certain things. Listen to this.
Word. That word is recognition. No, there's nothing unusual about that. People want to be recognized. They need recognition. That's basic in all of us. But perhaps because he's had so little of it, the Negro needs even more. He needs to feel important and appreciated. This need is a very real and important one. It shows up even in many of the Negro's shopping habits. Anyone who sells or wants to sell to the Negro customer should know about some of these habits. Three habits in particular play a big part in every sales transaction. To begin with, most Negroes buy by brand.
Most Negroes buy by brand. We buy brand. That's why we love name brand shit. We are label whores. We love name brand shit.
They ask for products by name. They're quick to turn down off brands. Do you wonder why? Well, listen to what this customer is thinking.
That last hat I bought just didn't hold up at all.
You see, for a long time, the Negro has been sold a lot of shoddy, second-class merchandise. So now he asks for name brands in order to make sure he gets his money's worth. Buying by brand, that's the first important Negro buying habit. Now for the second. The Negro buys good quality merchandise. Symbols of quality and prestige are very important to the Negro customer. This woman, for example, is buying fine crystalware. But she is also buying the admiration and approval of her friends and relatives.
Boom. See, listen to that. Neely Fuller talks about that. He talks about how a lot of black people do stuff so we can show it off to other black people. Neely Fuller talks about that now. He talks about how black people, we value getting shit, buying shit from white people, and showing it off to other black folks. That's what we value. And they knew that back then.
Listen to her thoughts.
My, isn't it beautiful? I can hardly wait to show it to Sally and Joan.
It's a well-known fact that many Negro customers are influenced by the opinions of others. What their friends may think of a certain item often decides whether or not the sale is made.
So Negroes are influenced by the opinions of others. It's a well-known fact. You dig? So they were breaking down the Negro mindset back then. It's a well-known fact that Negroes are influenced by the opinions of others.
Isn't it beautiful? I can hardly wait to show it to Sally and Joan.
It's a well-known fact that many Negro customers are influenced by the opinions of others. What their friends may think of a certain item often decides whether or not the sale is made. So remember, the Negro buys quality merchandise. That's the second important point. And here's the third thing to remember when selling to a Negro customer. When he specifically asks for one thing, don't try to sell him something else. Don't try to switch him at the point of sale. If you do, he'll probably react something like this.
Doesn't he think I've got the money to pay for it?
There's a reason for this reaction. Again, because he's had experience with cheap merchandise, the Negro resents being offered a substitute. He wants to be sold on quality, not price. The Negro buys by brand, he buys quality, and he doesn't like to be switched at point of sale. These are the keys to selling the Negro customer. Another point. The Negro family does things together, as a group. The family works as a unit. It lives as a unit, and it buys as a unit.
Now, this was before the 1960s. They broke that shit up in the 1960s. Before the 1960s, we used to do stuff as a family, as a group, as a unit, and then they said, okay, we got to break that shit up. There was a reason why in the 1960s, they started promoting financial integration. That's what integration was in the 1960s. This is what they were planning going back to the 1950s. They were planning on how to get this money, how to break up these families. They were planning all this stuff. They were doing it in a way that made it seem like they were trying to help the economy, but they were really trying to undermine black society, and they eventually did. I just want y'all to see how they sit up and plan and plot. So they said, okay, how do we get this money out of black society? We got to figure out their mentality and what they like and what they want. And now, because the black family buys as a unit, how can we break that shit up?
When you sell to one member, you many times sell to all. It's also true that many places of entertainment are still closed to the Negro. So he spends more of his money for the things that are available to him, often for items that are considered luxuries. Another trait of the Negro market is the fact that it is a pre-sold market. We know that the Negro buys by brand, and he buys the brands that he knows something about. Where does the Negro buyer get this information? We know that Negro customers are turning more and more to the publications.
And listen to what they just said. It's a pre-sold market, so they know certain things that Negroes are just going to line up and buy. Look at today. What do niggas line up and buy, which is a pre-sold market? Goddamn Jordans. Right now to this day, Jordans, that's a pre-sold market. They know, they already anticipate when a new pair of Jordans come out, they already know how many is going to be sold. That's a pre-sold market. They already know. The Negro mind, the Negro mentality niggas, they're going to line up and damn near kill each other for them damn Jordans, them sneakers. That is a pre-sold market. So they were understanding that stuff now. Even iPhones to a certain degree. iPhones to a certain degree. Somebody in the chat room said iPhones. That, but really those sneakers. And what a weaves. Weaves and lace fronts, which is cool. If we owned and controlled it. That's my thing. If we owned and controlled all the weaves and the lace fronts, I would be cool with that. But now, what they've done, they've given Asian groups the heads up on the Negro mentality and on how to sell to them.
That are tailored specifically to their needs, that give them the news and the information that they want to read about. Many leading businessmen and companies already know this. That's why so many of them are taking this direct, sure route of reaching the Negro customer. The vice president of advertising of the Gruen Watch Company, for example, says this.
In many important cities throughout the United States, Negroes are important customers of the Credit Jupiter. Therefore, it seemed that Ebony Magazine would be a very important advertising medium for us. We would say it was very well received. And from our view...
Let me fast forward some of this stuff.
Company makes this statement.
Because of Alliga's regard for the influence of ebony in the Negro market, advertising space was doubled. Alliga's long experience in selling to Negroes now takes the most direct route to its best customers, reaching Ebony's 2.5 million audience in every issue. And here are the statements of still other business leaders.
Let me fast forward some more. A greater percentage of readers noted, associated, and remembered the ad in Ebony. But now, wait a minute. If the Negro market is so big and easy to reach, why aren't more companies going out after it? Well, often because of the feeling that there's something entirely different, unusual about selling to the Negro. But is it really so different? What do salesmen say? The successful salesmen who do a good job of...
So this, again, you have to understand, a lot of people were trying to say, hey, we need to wise up and get this money. That's why they brought Jackie Robinson. Remember, around the same time, all of this stuff in the 40s and 50s, they were saying, hey, man, we got the Negro League over here making all this money. We can get some of that damn money. Bring in Jackie Robinson. Bring in a black player. There was nothing really special about Jackie Robinson. He was a good player, but as far as the Negro League players, Jackie Robinson was average as fuck compared to Negro League players. They picked Jackie Robinson because they knew that he would be like a quiet, low-key coon, which he was. I've talked about Jackie Robinson before. But the thing is, they got him so that they can get some of that black money into Major League Baseball. Not because of some kind of racial revelation, that's what I'm trying to say. They weren't doing it because of no revelation. They're like, we need some of that paper. They started waking up and understanding around the 1940s and 50s, you had a lot of the wartime industries that were created because of World War II. So there were a lot of jobs. So there were a lot of black people working. So a lot of black people had disposable income. So they're like, well, shit, hold on. I know we're racist, but how can we be racist and get the money out of these niggas? And they still practice everything in this video right now. They practice it to the letter on how to still maintain white supremacy, how to keep everything segregated, how to keep white supremacy intact, but how to get these Negroes to funnel their money over here to us. We got to make these Negroes consumers. We have to understand their mentality. Now, then they would use mediums like Ebony Magazine, and they would show the black celebrities looking good, looking fly. And other black people wanted to be like them. So black people wanted to buy shit like Harry Belafonte and buy clothes like Lena Horne and Dorothy Dandridge and all that. So this is why back then they would promote the black celebrities in the black media like that. And even now, they do that now with athletes and rappers and show all the material stuff that can be funneled into white society. Let me play the rest of this.
Selling in Negro communities. How do you go about getting the order?
How do I get the order? Well, to tell you the truth, I don't do anything. Anything different, that is. I've been calling on these accounts long enough to know that the Negro just wants to be treated like everybody else. No matter who you're calling on, a little friendliness and courtesy help a lot. But naturally, anybody resents being patronized or talked down to. So I usually call a man Mr. Brown, Mr. Smith, or Mr. whatever his name is.
Yeah, when they're trying to sell something to you. See, that's another thing. When the white supremacists are very friendly and it's Mr. This and Mr. That, well, they see some dollar signs. You dig? And with athletes, when they start acting like the father figure, because the white supremacist males, they're very good at getting around Negro athletes and playing that father figure role. See, it's all a con game. We have to understand that these people sit up and plot and study our psychology, and they plot and plot and plot on how to milk us dry, and we fall for it every damn time.
Until he tells me to call him by his first name. And, of course, I always stick to business. I stay away from talk about race or religion or politics. That goes for talk about Negro celebrities, too. You know, this business about what good prize fighters and singers the Negroes are. Who cares? When a guy's in business, no matter what color his skin is, he's interested in making a living, in making money. That's uppermost in his mind. I guess maybe what I'm saying is that I try to help any way I can. Sometimes with displays or ad materials or an idea once in a while.
And I want y'all to listen to this because I want black people. Somebody in the chat room said this, and this is very profound and it's real talk. We need to start thinking the same damn way. That's the thing. We got to start thinking the same way. We got to start looking at other people's psychology and figure out ways to get that paper up out of them. We got to start thinking of ways to funnel money out of other communities into ours. We got to start thinking like that. Put the emotions out of it. Figure out what's going to make them break bread. And what can you do to get them to funnel some of that paper? We got to start thinking the same way. We're all about trying to be accepted, trying to be everybody's buddy, trying to be friends, fuck all that. We got to start looking at them damn dollar signs. When you see certain people in certain communities, what can I do to get some of that paper out their ass? This is why when I was over in St. Croix, I talked about this on Ustream, over in St. Croix, the whole vibe was like a slave plantation over there. And I saw the little tourist areas and all that, and it was a bunch of white people running everything in the tourist area. And I'm like, why aren't these black people out here getting this tourist money? I don't see no black people over here in the tourist area really running nothing. You got tourists over here, man. You can go set up a braiding shop, a hair braiding shop, a dashiki sewing shop or whatever. You can do whatever, dude. There's a whole bunch of shit that you could be doing over here, funneling that money from those in the dominant society to you instead of just being an employee. You dig? When I look at black folks, I'm like, look, even if you don't have a building, nigga, get you a cart or something and a bike and do bike braids. I ride my bike and braid your fucking hair. Something to get some money up out of these damn folks. There's so many ways to get this money up out of folks everywhere you are. Everywhere black people are, there's ways to get that paper. When I see these sisters popping your ass and you twerking on YouTube and Twitter and Instagram, you popping your butt cheeks. A white girl, if she knows how to twerk, you know what she's going to do? She's going to go rent out a little studio somewhere for a few hundred dollars a month, get a pole up in there, and start advertising stripper aerobics classes and make her some damn money. Sisters need to be doing that same shit. There's a lot of ways, little normal shit that you do, you can go out here and start making that paper from other groups. A lot of other group of women don't know how to twerk. Your little black ass know how to twerk. Start teaching these other women and getting some paper up out of them. We got to start thinking just like these people were thinking in this video. Let me play the rest.
Important thing is that if it helps push sales for the dealer, it helps push him for me, too.
Handle the Negro account just like any of your others. Don't patronize. Stick to business. Get interested in the account. Pitch in and help any way you can. Sounds like pretty good sales advice. That's the secret of selling the Negro. Well, how about it? What do you think of this new market? It can open new outlets for you and for everybody who sells goods or services. It's still possible to get in on the ground floor when this market is just beginning to grow. And
remember, this was the ground floor. This is when a lot of black folks were getting that disposable income. And that's pretty much the end of this video. And that just shows the minute we start making a semblance of any kind of economic progress, do you see how they go on alert? The minute black folks start making significant amounts of money and disposable income and raising their standard of living up to an equal status of those in the dominant society, they go on alert. And they always come at you from a situation as if they're trying to help. Well, we're just trying to expand this market. See, that's that whole thing back in the 1950s and 60s where they came into black communities talking about urban renewal. We want to go into these black areas and we want to do some urban renewal. I know you guys are doing good on your own, but we want to expand your neighborhoods. We want to make it even better. And black folks was like, well, we don't really need it better. I mean, we're good. No. We want to make it better. We're going to do urban renewal. So what we're going to do, we're going to build a freeway right here in your community. And they literally started to destroy black communities just like that through urban renewal. You look up those terms. You look up the term urban renewal from the 1950s and 60s. That shit literally destroyed black neighborhoods. They didn't renew anything. All they did was basically start to displace a lot of black folks. And they said, okay, we're going to displace you because we're going to build a freeway in this area. And we're going to send you to another area. And what we're going to do, we're just going to build you some temporary housing called a housing project. And we're going to put you there temporarily. And we see how that turned out. We got to understand the Jedi mind tricks that they keep playing on us. Whenever we start to make any kind of economic progress. When the white supremacists come along, they got a trick bag up their sleeve. When they start coming in, hey, sir, how are you doing, sir? Ma'am, how you doing, ma'am, sir? When you hear ma'am and sir, you be on alert for that shit. That's how they started the syphilis, Tuskegee syphilis experiment. They came down in the black communities, hey, sir, ma'am, ma'am, sir, we're going to give some shots to help you out, sir, ma'am. You got to watch out for that. Just like our brother Neely Fuller said, when the white supremacists come around, when they come around trying to help, you better go on alert. When they come around to a church, even the liberal ones, when they come around, hey, we're just trying to do some volunteer work at your church, you better go on alert. What are they trying to do? Here they go. What they got up their sleeve. Then they start doing volunteer work at the church. Then all of a sudden, months down the line, you find out kids been molested. They got a pedophile ring or some shit. It's always some trick bag shit going on behind the scenes. And we got to stop falling for it. When they come into the community talking about we're going to do a psychological breakdown on your buying habits, understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to find a way to undermine. And that's exactly what they were doing in that video. They were finding ways to undermine black society. How to get this money and undermine black society. And they told the truth in the middle of the video. You see, well, we got to understand the Negro, he needs to feel important. The Negro has been held down so much, so these material things make him feel important and equal, which is absolutely true to this day. This is why we'll live in a housing project and drive a $50,000 damn car. Because we're concerned about what others think about us, that type of thing. We're concerned about what the next victim of white supremacy thinks about us. See, we got to get over that mentality. They want us to be stuck in that mentality. They let you know that you should think like that as black people. They promote that. They promote that keeping up with the Joneses mentality within black society. That's something that they promote. That black materialism. This is why they promote the rappers and singers and videos popping bottles and all that shit. They promote that and say that's something that you should aspire to because that's what it means being black. Popping bottles, sipping on lean, fucking big booty ass chicks. That's what it means. Don't worry about nothing else. And the thing is, you don't want them to make you into a million-dollar slave. I've been battling and debating a lot of white supremacists on Twitter because a lot of people are protesting our brother Colin Kaepernick. They're protesting the league, basically blacklisting him. So a lot of people around the country are protesting, and I've been making some comments on Twitter talking about how the NFL is basically run like a slave plantation. Many of the NFL owners gave millions of dollars to Trump, so they have no problem with non-justice. And a lot of the white supremacists are like, well, what? These people make millions of dollars. How the hell is that like slavery? Well, back in slavery, there were a lot of slaves who made money in sports as horse jockeys. Understand, the original horse jockeys were black people. That's why some white people will still have the black lawn jockey in the front of their houses. the horse jockeys used to be black and they used to be some of the biggest winners. And what would happen, many slave owners would allow their slaves to ride horses and make money for the plantation. There were some slaves who made lots and lots of money, tens and tens and thousands of dollars, who were still enslaved. They never really wanted to buy their freedom. They could have bought their freedom, but they were, in their mind, they were part of the slave plantation family. I really want y'all to read the book, $40 Million Slaves. It talks about that, how these lawn jockeys who were black and many of them were slaves, they could have bought themselves out of slavery, but they felt like they had some kind of family tie to the family who enslaved them. So they had no problem. They liked making money for massa. But what happened was later on down the line, remember, when black folks start making a lot of money, the white supremacists go on alert. They're like, hey, wait a minute. These niggas are making too much money. Somebody's going to wise up. They start getting political clout with this money. So we know money is power if they know how to use it, right? So we got to do something about this. So what they started to do, they started to get immigrant horse jockeys from Latin America and from all these other places, and they started to wean the black players out. They started to slowly wean them out. But again, during slavery, there was a lot of black folks who made money and they thought, I'm part of the family, so I'm not going to leave my family. That mentality is still prevalent today. That NFL player Tomlinson, he was giving his Hall of Fame speech. And that nigga was talking about how the slave family called Tomlinson, who owned the plantation with his great-great-granddaddy and all that, he still feels like God put him and that family together so we can build up the Tomlinson name. I mean, this nigga sounded like a plantation buck. He said this a few weeks ago. This wasn't even back in the day. That Tomlinson nigga, he was talking about how now this nigga's jet black, talking about, well, I'm a mixed race and Tomlinson is a good, proud name. I mean, this nigga sounded like a scene from Django. So we got to get that slave mentality up out the mix. The white supremacists, they want you to have that slave mentality. They love for you to have that slave mentality where they can funnel resources from you anytime they feel like it. And we got to start learning how to do everything in that video for other groups. How to get money out of other groups of people. We got to start figuring that out. And it's not that hard to do, especially if you live on places where you're the majority population. This is why I get on brothers and sisters who live in places like South Africa and the islands and all that stuff. Y'all need to be capitalizing on all those tourists. That's why I shout out to Jamaica. They know how to get some money out of some damn tourists. A Jamaican is going to get some motherfucking money. That's why I love Jamaica. They going to get some money out of some damn tourists. Like, look, motherfucker, I just carved a picture of your ass. Give me $20. They gonna get some money fast. That's why I tell y'all, need to go down to Jamaica and study the hustle. You dig? But anyway, let me get up out of here, family. I got stuff to do. Go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4. Go to TariqElite.com to get all that fresh gear, t-shirts, clothes, shoes, all that good stuff, family. And I'm going to holler at you guys this Sunday on Ustream, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all have a good night, and I'm going to holler.